called that and worse, but never been introduced that way before. Most outstanding introduction I had was as a young preacher, as fresh out of college, and I was invited to hold a week's meeting at a church in West Virginia. The congregation was pretty large, about 200 people there. I'd never been there before in my life, but I knew the preacher, the pastor, very well. And he invited me to come to the pulpit. He was going to introduce me. And I came up. I had a brand new suit on, I believe, and at least fresh out of the dry cleaners, and a clean shirt on, and so forth and so forth. And I came up to the pulpit, and he kind of adjusted my tie a little bit. He said, "Now, folks, we have Herbie here tonight." And I hate that name, Herbie. "We have Herbie here tonight." Said he can't preach a lick. No, he says he's a pretty boy, but he can't preach a lick. So go ahead, Herb. You either got to go uphill or downhill from that introduction. I think I went downhill. Thank you for the opportunity to be here and be with you again, to see you. I told someone a while ago, I don't know what it is that the folks here at Grace Printed Baptist Church are drinking or eating, but they all just look younger all the time. I think it's maybe I'm catching up to them. I don't know, but you just keep looking younger and you look good, especially the ladies. They're looking very well. I'm preaching at our church at Mayhew through the book of Hebrews. In the book of Hebrews, you have seven things whereby that Christ is set forth as being superior. I'm not going to deal with those seven tonight. When I get invited back, if I ever do, I'll maybe deal with them later on. But in the introduction, Paul gives a brief summary of the theme of this book, which is the preeminence and superiority of Jesus Christ over the Mosaic system. Fact of the matter is, he's over above all the angels. He's over Moses. He's over Aaron, even Melchizedek, and even Abraham. But in this first three verses, I'll quickly give you the introduction, which is, as I said, an expression of the preeminence of Jesus Christ. As I give introduction to Brother Zach, I'm sure that that's his theme, to exalt Jesus Christ, as it is every preacher. I say the model preacher, John the Baptist, said, "He must increase and I must decrease." So in Hebrews 1, he says, "God, who at sundry times and in divers manners and spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets." No one more highly esteemed than the Old Testament prophets to Jews. But he says, "Hath in these last days." The last days began with the ministry of Jesus Christ. It's still going on. It'll consummate with Jesus Christ when he comes again. "Hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son." The finality of revelation is in Jesus Christ, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, the universe. In verse 3, "who being the brightness of his glory and the expressed image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he hath by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high." I'm going to quickly give you four words out of verse 3 that will summarize the preeminence of Christ. And the very first word is the word "Son." All these four words begin with the letter S, maybe to help you to kind of have a skeleton to hang them on. Son. who being the brightness of his glory. Malachi chapter 4 speaks of Jesus Christ. It says, unto him, unto you that fear my name, shall the Son, S-U-N, Son of Righteousness, appear with healing on his wings. S-U-N is a symbolical glory of the preeminence of the glory of Jesus Christ. And the S-U-N's glory is diminished in the glory of Jesus Christ. His glory outshines all light. Fact of the matter, he says in John, I am the light of the world. But in the book of Revelation, where everything is comes to an end in summary, you'll read in verse 23 of the 21st chapter of Revelation, the city had no need of sun, neither the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb was the light of it. Now all the blessings that we need and get from the sun, we get them double-fold from the S-O-N, Jesus Christ. And the time will be when God will pull the shade down on the S-U-N, and the brilliance and the glory of the S-O-N will be shining for all eternity. He is the very expressed image and the glory of the Godhead. Paul describes him throughout the book of Hebrews as being that way. Not only do we have him as the S-U-N, but we have the word same. He is the expressed image. There is God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, and they three are one, and they are equal in their deity and in all of their glory and all of their power. While they have different offices and different persons, yet they are the very same, God the Father and God the Son. He is the very expressed image. This word expressed image is one which says as though an engraver would make something of the exact image of something another. Christ is the very expressed image of God the Father. John said, we beheld his glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. The same. Then you have the word sustainer, who upholding all things by the word of his power. The world powers are meeting to talk about climate change. Well, they need to talk to God about climate change, because he said in the book of Genesis that harvest time and springtime would never fail. And that's a promise that God made to all creation, and it reminds us about it by putting a rainbow in the sky. He is the sustainer of the universe, and this world will be held together by God himself, by Jesus Christ, upholding, sustaining all things by the word of his power. And the only thing that will ever come to bring this world to the end is when Christ comes in glory, and he takes flaming fire and purges this old world of all of its sin and brings forth a new heaven and a new earth for all eternity. Oh, what a glorious day, time that will be, when there'll be no more sin and no more old trashy world to deal with. And I started to say politicians, but I won't. The fourth word. Upholding all things by the word of his power, when he hath himself purged our sins. Savior. What a precious word that is. There's none like Jesus Christ. There's none other name given under heaven whereby we must be saved. And I like this word to purge. It just doesn't just wipe it off. It just doesn't merely wash. But it does say that he washed us from our sins in his own blood. But the washing is of the nature that he purges us. David says, create in me a clean heart, purge me with hyssop. Purging is a very thorough cleaning. And the purging by the blood of Jesus Christ and his finished work on the cross, we are declared to be justified before a holy and righteous God because of what Christ has done by the finished work on the cross of Calvary. He has purged us from all of our sins. He is the singular Savior. He said, I am the way and the truth and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. There's no other way for salvation except in Jesus Christ. He is the Redeemer of his people, and he is the only Savior of his people. No, there is not a friend like the lowly Jesus. And the fourth word, next word is, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high, seated at the right hand of the majesty on high. There are three things quickly about that description of him being seated. It's a place of honor at the right hand. It means acceptance. He has finished his work, and he is accepted as having finalized everything that God the Father sent him to do. In John the 17th chapter, he said, praying to the Father, I've finished the work that thou sent me to do. He's seated at the right hand of God. Not only is he seated, accepted there, but he has access at the right hand. There he is, right at the right hand, whereby that he can easily speak on behalf of his people for whom he makes intercession for. And the third thing is, it means that he is accomplished. He's seated at the right hand. Accomplished our salvation. No works to be performed. Nothing must we do. Jesus paid it all. What a wonderful Savior we have in Jesus Christ. God bless you. Brother Zach Guest, friend, man that I've enjoyed company with, him and Brother David are both in India and Russia. You know, you kind of learn about people, how they are, when you've been putting up with them for about 2 weeks and nothing is right. The food is not exactly as good as it was back home. The beds are not right. And they put up with me. So they're good men. God bless you, Brother Zach.
Thank you, Brother Aaron. 54 years. And people ask me how I feel. And I love to preach, but I'm also scared. And I hope it's always that way. If I ever get to where I'm thinking, hell, on my own, I'm finished. So I have a fear, because I know I can't preach without God. But I got a confirmation tonight, because Herb doesn't realize that we had not been talking. But I am going to preach from Hebrews chapter 1. And so I know the Lord is in the matter. I feel like he is, so I hope you'll be in prayer. And what I want to do now, when I say I want to do this, I intend to do this, but of course, I always try to be open to the Lord's leading. One time I was up in Maryland, I even changed horses in the middle of the stream. I was preaching, and I got to where I felt like I was walking in mud. I said, folks, I'm on the wrong text. I went somewhere else, and I had a little liberty. So you pray for me that I'll follow the Lord's Spirit. But what I got in mind while I'm here is to preach from Hebrews 1 and John 17. And I've got a title. It's Eavesdropping of the Holy of Holies. Because we're eavesdropping on the Holy of Holies in Hebrews 1 and John 17. We're hearing God the Father and God the Son have a conversation. I'm not really able to preach as much as good as I want to, but I'm going to do the best I can. And I hope I stirred David up and some other people to do some real preaching. I do believe any preacher here and God's people will be stirred by some of the things, even if I just read the chapter. So I'm going to read Hebrews 1, and I won't comment on every verse, but I want to glean from Hebrews 1 tonight, if God will bless me. So let's read these 14 verses. I love all the Bible, but some of it is extra special. The whole Bible is special. Some of it's extra special. And Hebrews 1 is extra special. It's a classic chapter. It's just classic. It's a majestic chapter. So just reading it, if I just read this to you and went home, we'd still have been well blessed by being here. So let me read this. Then you have, bless me, ask God to bless me to make a few comments and glean a little bit from this. This is a majestic. You ought to memorize this. I memorized this. I'm not going to try to say it by memory right now tonight, but I have memorized this, and I just love to go over it in my mind. It's a good way to go to sleep and just say in Scripture. And Hebrews 1 is one of the ones I like the best. So let's listen to this majestic language. God, who at sundry times in divers manners, speaking time past unto the fathers by the prophets, had these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory, the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high, being made so much better than the angels, as he hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. For to which of the angels said he at any time, this is part of that conversation, for to which of the angels said he at any time, thou art my son,
that they have I begotten thee. And again, I'll be to him a father, he shall be to me a son. And again, he bringeth in the first begotten into the world, he saith, that all the angels of God worship him. Of the angels, he saith, maketh his angels spirits, his ministers, a flame of fire.
But to the Son, he saith, listen, he's talking to Jesus Christ. God the Father talking to Jesus Christ. To the Son, he saith, thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of thy kingdom. Thy love righteousness and hated iniquity. Therefore, I have anointed thee with all gladness above thy fellows. And it's just amazing that we keep reading. And thou, Lord, and he said he called him Lord. Isn't that amazing? These Jehovah's Witnesses don't understand that, do they? These Mormons, do they? My friend, Jesus Christ is God. He had God manifest in the flesh. Don't ever forget that. And thou, Lord, in the beginning, had laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the works of thine hands. They shall perish, but thou remainest. They all shall wax old as doth a garment. As a vesture shalt thou fold them up, and they shall be changed, but thou art the same, and thy years shall not fail. But to which of the angels said he, any time sit on my right hand till make thine enemies thy footstool? Are they not all ministering spirits sent to minister to them who shall be heirs of salvation? Isn't that a great chapter? Now, let's glean a little bit. You pray for me now as I can just glean. First of all, I love the expression so much. I know David loves it. He loves prophecy a lot. But he said, God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners, different ways, spake in time past to the fathers by the prophets. That was wonderful, wasn't it? He spoke to the fathers by the prophets. These last days, he spoke to us by the Son. I'd rather be on this side of the cross than the other side of the cross. I'm glad God blessed me to be born in New Testament age. Let me tell you about an experience I had one time. I used to preach at Holy Wall, Tennessee. When I was a young preacher, I went up there once a month. It's a long way up there from Memphis. And on the way home, I turned the radio on. I listened to Brother Bradley and two or three other preachers. And one of those guys was old M.R. DeHaan. And he got me so excited one time, I almost drove off the road. And here's what he said. He said, you know, let's just say there's a man standing here. And so the sun beginning to rise. But you don't see much of that man. You see a big old shadow. It casts a huge shadow. And then he started quoting some scriptures. And as the thing gets higher, you see less shadow and more of the man. And right when that shadow's standing, when that sun's standing right over that man, you just see the man, the shadow's gone. And he used that scripture, Herb used, the son of righteousness has ribbed hitting in his wings. And I mean, he really got me going. Because he had all those Old Testament prophecies about Christ. And he said sometimes even when it's dark, there'd be a flash of lightning. And just like the sun, he's shining just for a minute. Then it goes out. That's Isaiah 53. Right there in the Old Testament, when he's talking about Jesus Christ, and we see him in types and shadows, then whammo, Isaiah 53 and some other places in the Old Testament, you see God plainly, just like in the New Testament. Isaiah is almost good enough to be a New Testament book, isn't it? All right, so let's look at this a little bit. I know some of my favorite scriptures. God, who at sundry times and in divers manners, spake in time past to the Father by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken to us by his Son. Now, let's talk about that just a little bit. Let me give you one of my favorite scriptures. I'm going to read some scriptures off here. I'm having a little trouble with my eyes, so I printed this off in pretty big print. So go with me to one of my first scriptures that I love so much, and you're going to love it too. It's 1 Peter chapter 1. I'll read verse 10 through 12. Let's do a little imagination. He spoke to the prophets in the Old Testament about Jesus Christ. And they didn't understand exactly what he was saying. They got a little bit of what he was saying. They were searching the scriptures. There's something wonderful here. They didn't totally understand it. Brothers and sisters, we understand more about the Lord Jesus Christ than they did. Even people like David and Isaiah, believe it or not, if we really believe the Bible. It's amazing. We ought to thank God we live in New Testament times. Now let's read this over in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 10 through 12. Of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come to you. That's me and you. Searching what? They were searching. Or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ, which is in them, did signify, and testified beforehand
the suffering of Christ, and the glory that should follow. To whom it was revealed that not unto us, to themselves, unto us, they did administer the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you, the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things the angels desire to look into. Now, you know what? My friend, I've been in church all my life, and it's easy for me to start taking things for granted. I hope the Holy Spirit will give us a revival. Our country, as you know, is going down the tubes quickly. But the whole world going down the tube quickly. I don't know what all that means prophetically. We all know that. Anybody has any news at all, sense of news, we're going down the tubes quickly. I never thought things would get this bad. But I hope God will give you and me a revival of appreciating the precious truths of the Scriptures. Those old prophets, they said they didn't minister to themselves, to me and you. The things that are now reported to you every Sunday by David Powell in the gospel. And my friend said, which things the angels are trying to look into. And the Bible doesn't ever use any language that's not totally true. Brothers and sisters, I believe angels are in our church services. I really believe that. Ephesians 3:10, I can go to some other places. When you come to church, behave yourself. The angels may be watching you. They see if you're going to sleep over there. They love what they're hearing. And the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm not pulling that out of the hat. That's what the Bible says. Now let's look at another scripture about prophecy. I love this one also. Those two men on the road to Emmaus were talking to Jesus Christ. And that's the one that they got the spiritual heartburn. They said, when he was speaking to us, by the way, did not our hearts burn within us? And that's what I need, is a spiritual heartburn. And when the Bible is given to me by the Holy Ghost, I do have some spiritual heartburn. Now, so here's what Jesus told them in Luke 24:44. That must have been quite a conversation. Wouldn't you like to have been there? And here Jesus Christ opened up the Old Testament about himself. That must have been something. No wonder they got spiritual heartburn. All right, look. Luke 24:44. And he said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and the Psalms concerning me. Now, let me tell you this. I'm going to get another point in here. What Jesus Christ was doing was putting his approval on the entire Old Testament. Yeah. So we divide the Old Testament into five sections, which I won't go into that. We got 39 books in the Old Testament. They had the same 39, but where we divide it into five divisions, most of the time, they divide it into three divisions. And so Jesus Christ is saying, I'm putting my imprimatur on all the Old Testament. And he said, the Old Testament is filled with things talking about me. Even in the book of Genesis, how about that? Genesis 3:15, you know that one very well. I won't quote it right now. About the seed of the woman and the seed of the serpent. But how about Genesis 3:21? That's 3:15. How about 3:21? Let me just, for a minute. See, types and shadows. He spoke of them in diverse manners in the Old Testament. But he even planted today when Jesus Christ preached to us. Now, I love Genesis 3:21. You know why? Adam and Eve sinned. And they knew they had sinned. They knew they were naked. They're exposed. And so they should have run to the Lord. And I'm going to tell you, when you sin, you ought to run to the Lord. But see, the devil wants you to run away from the Lord. So we're all Arminians by nature. Now, I hate to insult you that, but that's just what we are. By nature, we are. That's our default. I've just got to do something good enough for God to like me. But you can't do that. You can't do that. Everything we do is mixed with sin. We ought to behave ourselves, and I believe in obedience. But anyway, Adam and Eve, they tried to cover their nakedness with fig leaves, and sometimes we do the same thing. But that did not work, and it won't work on you either. So what the Bible says in Genesis 3:21, and the Lord God made coats of skins, and he clothed them. How about that? They really had some clothes on then. And to get the skin, you got to kill an animal, obviously, a picture of Jesus Christ. The Old Testament is filled with Jesus Christ. You know, one time I did a study on this. I don't have the figures right now, but on the day when Solomon dedicated the temple and had all those oxen and all those sheep, I did a study on that. I called a veterinarian and found out how much blood's in an ox. You'd be surprised how much is an ox. I found out how many blood is in a sheep. And I added all those gallons up, and I did two things. I put them in tank trucks. I called the Tennessee Department of Transportation. I put all that blood in tank trucks. And I did it a different way. I also put it in 55-gallon drums on flatbed trucks. And I figured out, I did a lot of work on this thing. And my friend, that's a lot of blood. Whether you're in tank trucks or on flatbed trucks, that's lots of blood. Not one drop of that blood saved you from your sins. But every drop reminded you of the one who did save you from your sins. God had a reason, didn't he, for those Old Testament sacrifices. That's why we ought to love the book of Leviticus. Leviticus is not boring. You read about man's friend, lots of things in the Old Testament. Every drop of that blood will remind us of the blood of Jesus Christ. The Lord wants us to think about Jesus Christ and his shed blood. What did the Apostle Paul say? I determined not to know anything among you save what? Jesus Christ and what else? And him crucified. I'm not ashamed of a bloody religion. I'm glad we got a bloody religion, aren't you? That's the fountain that cleansed me from my sins. That a fountain filled with blood run from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunged to that lose all their guilty stains. So, prophecy. So I love that. And I think I'll give you one more. I love over in Romans chapter 1. I'm just trying to talk right now, but he's speaking of the fathers and the time passed by the prophets. I love Romans 1. I thought in verse, which he had promised before, this is verse 2, which he had promised before by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures concerning his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, which was made the seed of David according to the flesh, declared to be the Son of God with power by the Spirit, by resurrection from the dead. Isn't that beautiful? So my friend, the Old Testament, I love that expression over there in Hebrews 1 there about he's speaking of the fathers by the prophets. And then let me go to my next point. I just had to glean from this. It also says, and Brother Herb made this plain, by whom also he made the worlds. You know, Jesus Christ was just as involved in creation as God the Father was. You know that? And the Holy Ghost was too. The Holy Spirit moved upon the face of the waters. Let me read you one about that. Well, we know what it is in John 1. In the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him. Without him and not anything made that was made. How about that? My friend, Jesus Christ is the Creator God. We can't hold him too high esteem. But then Brother Herb also said he's a sustainer. He says, hath in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the world, who being the brightness of his glory. And I'm going, you need to preach all this stuff out, so I'm not going to get on all of it. Who being the brightness of his glory, the express image of his person, upholding all things by the word of his power, who by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. There's a lot in that verse right there. Let's talk about, no, he said he upholds all things by the word of his power. You know what? It doesn't only take Jesus Christ to get us saved, it takes him to keep us saved. You know that? My friend, not only did the Lord have to make the world, he got to keep it going. This world would fall up immediately if he didn't keep it going. And someday, he'll be through with it. And then we have the day of the Lord will come at the thief of the night, for the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, the elements shall melt with fervent heat, and the world and all that's in it is going to burn up. Then we'll be on a new heaven and a new earth where dwelleth righteousness. 1 Peter 3:13. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for a new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. Read David and Sonny's article on that. I agree with them on that. My friend, we're not going to be just a bunch of ghosts floating around. We're going to be in a glorious environment some of these days. Isn't that great? And we'll be able to enjoy it. I mean, if you think the Garden of Eden was pretty, we ain't seen anything yet. I love pretty stuff, don't y'all? I love pretty flowers, pretty garden. We haven't seen anything yet. And you'll have the capacity to enjoy it. You'll have eyesight like you've never had before. You musicians, y'all had a great singing school here. Brothers, I believe this. I can't prove it, but I believe it. There'll be octaves up and octaves down we don't even know about. The music is going to be incredible. You'll have a brilliant mind to enjoy that with. Not clouded by sin. Unlimited energy. Like Herb said, the Lamb is the brightness thereof. I'm looking forward to that. My favorite verse of that song, I've got a lot of friends right now who are going through a lot of trouble. Some of them got cancer. Brother Jerry White, his wife just had a stroke. She can't hardly see right now. And that bothers me. So I love that verse of the song, face to face with Christ my Savior. What rejoicing in his presence when are banished grief and pain. When the crooked things are straightened and the dark things shall be made plain. I'm looking forward to that. No more sin. That's going to be wonderful. Beyond our imagination. Beyond our imagination. But anyway, let me give you a scripture on him upholding all things. He keeps it going. He keeps it going. He keeps you going too. As long as he wants you to live, you're going to live. You ought to take care of yourself. It's a sin if you don't, but I'm telling you, your time's in God's hand. And my time's in God's hand. Look at Nehemiah 9:6. Glorious, another one of those classic scriptures, Nehemiah 9:6. Thou, even thou, Lord alone, thou hast made heaven, the heaven of heavens, with all their host, the earth, all things that are therein, the sea and all that's therein, and thou preservest them all, and the host of heaven worshipeth thee. Not only have you made them, you preserve them, and the host of heaven worshipeth thee. And we have the privilege as his children to give him the best worship of all comes out of his children. All right, let's keep reading. That's a great verse that I'm reading there. Let's read that again. Get some more out of that. Who being the brightness of his glory, the express image of his person, upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins. Let's stop there a minute. He purged our sins, Brother Herb said. You know what that means? He paid for the sins. He got what he paid for. That's why I'm a Trinity Baptist. He got what he paid for. He didn't lose a single one. Not a drop of his blood was shed in vain. Hebrews 9:12 says this. Neither the blood of goats and calves, but his own blood, he entered in once to the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. Not potential redemption. I've got a lot of good Christian friends I love, but I don't like some of the things they preach. I do not believe that Jesus Christ died a general atonement to make it possible for people to be saved. No, he didn't do that. Old J. Vernon McGee had that wrong. Even though he liked that song, he paid it all. He didn't really believe that. He believed he paid it all if. There's no if to it, my friend. If Jesus Christ paid for your sins by his blood, you're redeemed, you're saved. Thank God for that. Let's read that again, Hebrews 9. Neither by the blood of goats and calves, but his own blood, he entered once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. When he was on the cross, he said it's finished. He meant what he said. Aren't you glad? Now, that's got some practical implications, too. You know what that means? You're not your own. Don't be your own. Young people, old people, middle-aged folk, don't act like you're on your own. You're not your own. If you're a child of God, you're bought the price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and your spirit, which belong to God Almighty. I had that Almighty. That was not wrong, did it? You belong to God if you're born. We owe him everything we've got. We owe him everything. I owe him my time, my money, my devotion, my trying to fight sin, my repent. I owe him everything. Everything. I forget that sometimes to my shame. But I don't blame myself. I belong to God. All right, now I love this next one. I love all this, don't y'all? When he got through, he said he sat down on the right hand of majesty on high. You know why he sat down, don't you? His work was finished. I heard a sermon of Charles Walker. I don't know whether any of y'all knew Charles Walker, but I love Brother Charles. He's a good old country preacher, but he's a profound preacher. He really was profound. He used to think that he used bad grammar. I didn't really care about the bad grammar. His preaching was so good. I think we ought to use good grammar. Don't get me wrong, but I'd rather hear a guy who used bad grammar who really preaching than a real good grammarian who couldn't preach. I've heard some of them too. I want my friend to come, but here's what Charles preached. Charles preached a sermon, I still remember it. There's a chair in heaven he preached. Hallelujah. Chair in heaven. Now why I say hallelujah? Charles said, you know what? In the tabernacle and the temple and the holy place, there was not a chair there. They had the Ark of the Covenant. They had the mercy seat. Right outside that veil, they had that candlestick. They had that table of showbread. But there's no chair in the tabernacle or the temple. You know why? Because the work wasn't finished. That's why. My Savior, my friend, when he sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high, that meant the work is done. Now, he gets up every now and then. You can look forward to this. When you die, he's going to get up. He did with Stephen, didn't he? There he's right by the hand of God. And my friend Stephen said, I see the Son of Man standing beside the throne of God. He gave him a personal welcome. How can he do that? He's infinite. That's how he can do it. He's going to give a personal welcome. Isn't that great? I can promise you that. 1 Peter, we have an abundant entrance to the everlasting kingdom. That's wonderful. An abundant entrance to the everlasting kingdom. He'll have a smile on his face, the best smile you've ever seen, because he loves you with an unspeakable love. And he has nothing against you. He's paid for your sin. You're beautiful to him. You're his bride. You're his bride, his beautiful bride. I can't comprehend that. I just believe it because the Bible said it. That's glorious. Hallelujah. All right, now let me read you some scriptures. And I'm going to give you an assignment if you want to do it. If you want to have some real spiritual fun, look up in your concordance every time the right hand of God is mentioned. I'm going to read you two or three of them. Look in your concordance. Look at every place the right hand of God is mentioned, and you're in for a feast. Let's read two or three of them. Mark 16:19. So then after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven and sat on the right hand of God. I like that, don't y'all? Look at 1 Peter 3:22. You find this in the most unexpected places, this wonderful concept of the right hand of God. 1 Peter 3:22. Who has gone to heaven and on the right hand of God, angels and authorities and powers being made subject unto him. Does the Holy Spirit ever come to Grace Church? I believe he does. I hope he comes with more than he ever had before. I hope at Grace Chapel he does the same thing and make you in other places. And where Brother Mike still is, Pastor, everybody else. We need the Holy Spirit. If we have the Holy Spirit, it's going to come from the ascended Christ. And by the way, let me say while I'm at this, I'm going to read your text a bit that proves that. If you have a call preacher, you do, you ought to thank God for him. You know where call preachers come from? The ascended Christ. That awes me. It scares me. He ascended up on high. He led captivity captive. He gave gifts unto men. Personally, he did that. We all bad to believe in a God-called ministry. You can't manufacture preachers. They got to be called of God Almighty. Start praying for God to send more of them to us. The Bible says the field is watch the harvest, the labor of few. Therefore, pray you, the Lord of the harvest. He sent labor to the harvest. We need to be doing that. But anyway, let's read the scripture. Because when the Holy Spirit comes to be with us, it's because the ascended Christ is sending him to us. That's over, you know the sermon over there that Peter preached on the day of Pentecost, Acts 2:33. This is when Peter's preaching to those folks. The Holy Ghost had come down, that wonderful Pentecostal day, when 3,000 were added to the church, the people were just having joyful, all this wonderful day. And so Peter, I'm teaching, I'm explaining how this wonderful day has come about. This is Acts 2:33. Therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, he hath sent forth this, which ye now see and hear. Isn't that wonderful? And my friend, he can do it again. He done it a few times in my life. And I believe he can do it more. I hope he can do it better than he ever had. I've read about revival in the past. I want revival. We pray for revival at Grace Chapel all the time. I want revival in my own life. I want revival in my church life. God can bless us far beyond anything we can imagine, my dear friend. Don't limit him. He can do that, even in this age we live in. We get depressed sometimes. I do if I listen to the news too much. But my friend, God's still on the throne. He's still running the show. He's still doing his will in the army of heaven, among the inhabitants of the earth, and nobody can even stay his hand or even question him, say, what doest thou? That's the same God, my friend, that's today here. Sister Theda Lawrence was a great Christian. Brother Billy Lawrence was a preacher about in Texas. And his wife was just a real mother of Israel. And we'll sing that song, he's just the same today, he's just the same. Right when we get through singing that, she said, you really believe that? I'm asking you, do you really believe that? You really believe that's just a song you sing? You think he's just the same today? I know he is. Sometimes heard my faith this week. If I get back in the Bible, let me tell you about the Bible a minute. I'm going to deviate for a minute. Give me an asterisk here. I get low sometimes. I think I'm just about halfway spiritually dead. So not long ago, I did get in a low spate. I felt guilty. I'll tell you why I felt guilty. It wasn't a sin, it's a weight. You know the sin, the weights we have over in Hebrews 12? Well, I got on YouTube one night. I love World War II. I spent about 3 hours on YouTube watching World War II. I felt guilty of the dog. I need to be sleeping. I need to be studying. I felt terrible the next day. I just felt awful. Lord, I don't want to let you down. Then a sister called me from Old Eden Church, Kathy Turner, to ask some Bible questions. And before I knew it, I was ready to go and preach 4 or 5 sermons. You know what? Why? It was inside me, and my friend God drew it out. He'll do you the same way. You don't have to be a preacher. If you're born again, that faith is in you, and the Word of God's in you, and it may seem sometime like you're dead. You're not dead. You just need to stir yourself up or ask God to stir you up. That's happened to me lots of times. I thought, well, that's why I like to go to church, one reason. Sometimes I go to church about half dead, and that guy gets to preaching, and the Word of God, see, when God calls you to be born again, the same truth in that Bible he wrote in your heart. So you say amen out loud. You ought to say it out loud. Let's say it real good inside. And just rejoice in Jesus Christ. God got a way of drawing it out of you. So I'm glad Kathy asked me those questions. It drew it out of me. I'm glad it did. Okay. Now, let's keep going. And David, some of the best, I'm going to just not even do it, so you'll have to do it. I'm just going to make a few points. Okay, here's another good point. He said, let all the angels of God worship him. You know what that proves? He's God. He's God. God the Father said, let all the angels of God worship him. You don't worship anybody but God. Let me tell you two examples of that. The 14th chapter of Acts, the Apostle Paul works on miracles, and a bunch of people came out and tried to sacrifice to him. He's God. Remember that? I think it's Pisidian Antioch, but he was over it anyway. And Paul, he rent his clothes. No, don't do this. I mean, just like y'all are. He would not receive worship. Even more of that in the 19th chapter of Revelation. Old John's overcome. He's on the Isle of Patmos. God shows him these wonderful visions. The angel involved in that. John's so excited, he's trying to worship an angel. Angel said, not me. My friend, only worship God. Jesus Christ is God Almighty. That's what proof he is. And let all the angels of God worship him. He's the only one worthy of worship. I love that scripture over there in Revelation. Thou alone art worthy. Sometimes we're singing holy, holy, holy. We cross out that verse. I act like a charismatic. I'm not trying to be a charismatic, but I just rest my hand up. I can't help it. Thou alone art worthy. My friend, he's the only one that's worthy. In heaven, you and I are going to have a big time bragging on him, aren't we? We ought to brag on him now. That's what the angel is saying, right? Thou alone art worthy, the Bible says, there in Revelation chapter 5. All right, let's go a little bit further. Now, let's look at his immutability. He doesn't change. Everything in this world changes. The older I get, the more it's changing. My body's changing. My eyes not what they used to be. My ears are not. My energy is not. Some of the childhood, I lived in my neighborhood most of my life where I'm at. I went to Kentucky for 3 years to start a church. Then I came back. But I see old places gone. Mr. Drugstore's gone. This is gone over here. This old landmark is gone. My friend, things don't change. I mean, things change, but God doesn't change. I thank God he doesn't change. He's stability. He's the rock. If the whole world goes crazy, he does not change. Let's look at those expressions now. I just kind of put them together. Thou remainest, thou art the same, thy years shall not fail. That's the immutability. Brother Herb quoted the text from Malachi 3:6. I am the Lord. That word is Jehovah. It's in small caps. I am the Lord. I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. I change and you change. Sometime I'm hot. Sometime I'm cold. Sometime I'm obedient. Sometime I'm disobedient. But my brother, my God does not change. He's a rock. We can trust him. If the words get swirling around our feet, he's the great rock. Hallelujah. James in chapter 1 says, there's no variableness, neither shadow of turning. You can count on him. We sing about that, don't we? Don't you like that song, Abide With Me, that last verse? About things changing? O thou who changes not, abide with me. Things are changing. You kids will realize that someday. You older people already know what I'm talking about. Change and decay at all around I see. I love the United States. Dave and I have been overseas, so Herb. We love our country. We come home, we just get teary-eyed when we come to the international airport and they get the flag there and they say, welcome home. I feel good. But I tell you what, in a way I like it, but I'm not really home yet. I'm looking for a city which has foundation, whose builder and maker is God, and one day the Lord's going to say, welcome home, and I'll be home forever then. Change and decay and all around I see, O thou who changes not, abide with me. And my favorite song probably is Great Is Thy Faithfulness. Thou changest not, thy compassion they fail not. Brother, they don't. If God ever loved you one time, he keeps loving you. Sometimes you fall away from God in disobedience, and the devil says, well, you're not a child of God anyway. You might as well just quit. Don't listen to that devil. He that had begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. He may have to chastise you to do it, but that's for your benefit. Some of you may have gone through some hard times. God may be knocking some rough edges off. We serve a jealous God. He wants me to be, according to Hebrews 12, a partaker of his holiness. And he's going to get that to some degree out of us. Isn't that great? David, I didn't really do a good job on that. You're going to fix that up. That's some great stuff right there. But now, I'll tell you what I want to do. This is a little bit unusual. And I'm going to finish on this. But that last verse says this. That last verse is a pretty interesting verse. Well, I don't fully understand this. Nobody does. But I can understand. I can go as far as the Bible let me go. That's verse 14. Are not they all ministering spirits? Talking about angels. Sent forth to minister to them. You shall be heirs of salvation. My friend, I'm going to prove to you from the scriptures. And I'm just getting to a few points. You'd be surprised how much angels are mentioned in the Bible. We all think about angels, but not the wrong way. We don't worship angels. We don't pray to angels. But we need to be aware of angels because God wants us to be aware. You don't know how many times you've probably been saved from some danger by angels. My wife and I think we were one time. We can't prove it, but we think that. I went to Indiana when I was just a kid preacher, and my wife and I hadn't even had any kids yet. So that's a long time ago. And it's in the wintertime. And we're in the land between the lakes up there, between the Cumberland River, I think, and the Tennessee River. The land is desolate in there. I drive a Volkswagen. I didn't realize that the engine in the back, so ice was forming between the fender and my tire. So I tried to pull out of the skid. I couldn't pull out of it. We went across this snowfield over right to a cliff. I said, well, this is it. All of a sudden, you just sit down like somebody put a big hand on it. But I still didn't know what I was going to do. I'm in the middle of this field full of snow and just me and Judy. All of a sudden, three or four forest rangers walked up there and picked that car up and put it on the road. I think that a forest ranger probably in a uniform. I said, I can't prove that. But I know God can do it. The Bible says that sometimes they materialize as human beings. So, my friend, we need to realize that God can use angels to take care of us. Isn't that great? I know he does that. The Bible says, let's look at just a few places here, not just too many places. Look over in Mark 4:11. They dealt with Jesus Christ, our precious Savior. They helped our Savior out and his humanity. He's the God-man. He's really a man, really God. So over in, that's the mystery. Great is the mystery of God is. God manifests in the flesh. Matthew 4:11. Then the devil leaveth him, and behold, angels came and ministered unto him. Jesus Christ, the human being, had been fasting for 40 days and had this concept of the devil. And God Almighty sent angels to minister to him. Look over in Matthew 18:10. Matthew 18:10. Take heed that ye despise not one of these little ones, for I say unto you that in heaven their angels always behold the face of my Father which is in heaven. That's not saying a lot. I'm not going to read more than that that's there, but he says they're angels. I don't know where God got an angel assigned to me or not. I feel kind of sorry for him if he does. Y'all ever said that movie The Great Life? Remember old Clarence, that angel? Man, they give him a fit. I'm not being funny about that. I don't know what, but I'll tell you one thing. He said they're angels in heaven behold the face of God Almighty. That's what the Bible says right there in Matthew 18:10. Then, let's go to just a couple more. I'll be through. This is Luke 16:22, and came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by angels to Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. I don't know about that, folks. It indicates to me that angels took that guy to heaven. I don't know whether that happened or not. Maybe some of you preachers that are better than I am can tell you that. But it's likely when I'm going to leave this world, God said to the angel, take my soul to heaven. I will say this. On these international trips, I'm kind of a coward. I don't like to travel much, even though I have done a lot of traveling. So I'm always worried to death about all the details. I get so scared. You ought to watch me. I'm always, my passport, billfold, just going nuts. Think I lost my passport. No, it's right in another pocket. My wife said I'd carry too many pockets and stuff, too many vests and stuff. So I'm always worried about that. One time old Herb got sent home. I couldn't believe that. Hear me and brother Herb going to India? And get over there, and his visa was messed up by somebody. They wouldn't even let him in India. I had to go by myself, scared to death. Old Herb had to go back home with that flying. So I worry about stuff like that. So I get set on the plane, finally, I cleared all that. I feel pretty good. Then I got to get out to India, and I'm scared that those guys look at me kind of funny, because we're not supposed to be preaching over there. But anyway, I still worry about details. Here's the point I'm making. On my final journey, I don't have to worry about a thing. My passport's been stamped by the blood of Jesus Christ. The angel will be carrying my luggage. They ain't going to carry that with me anyway. Except, I don't know, I might. Let for yourself treasure to put heaven where moth and rust don't corrupt. I don't know. I know one thing, I won't take any money out of here. I don't care how, if you're a billionaire. Bible says we brought nothing to this world. It's certain we can carry nothing out. Isn't that right? So let's don't, we love our money. We love what God gives us. But don't make a God out of it. You ain't going to hold on to it too long. You're going to have to let it go. Sam Walton ain't got a lot anymore. Someday Bill Gates won't have a lot anymore. What you hope you've got eternal treasure, what I hope we've got. I like to think about that final journey. I just relax. Let the angels, whatever they do, if that's what, and I think that's what it indicates to me. You had to read that for yourself. Let's get a couple more, we'll be through. This is over in John 1:51. This is good. And he saith unto him, verily, verily, I say unto you, hereafter you shall see heaven open, the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. That's a reference really back to Jacob's ladder. So Jacob, he's out there. He's going, we get the song, Nearer by God to the Out of That Experience. He's laid his head on a pillow that night. He's running from Esau. He's scared to death. He's going to a strange country. He has this wonderful dream. He sees heaven opened. He sees the ladder right there, an angel of God ascending and descending on that ladder. And by the way, that's the first time in the Bible the house of God is mentioned. There's something special about the house of God. He's called the house of God there. Then you go to the tabernacle of the house of God. Then you go to the temple of the house of God. And now it's the New Testament church, the house of God. 1 Timothy 3:15. Thank God to be a church member. Thank God to go to church. It's a sacred place to be. Don't take it for granted. It's the house of God. He's there in a special way. Anyway, those angels, I don't know what they're doing, but you know what I think they may be doing? I don't know. I'm just speculating. They may be taking requests up to God and bringing presents down. I don't know. But they're going up and down. Angels of God ascending. We can't see in the spirit world, can we? But you know, spirits are out there. Bad angels and good angels both. The Bible says that over in Ephesians 6. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. One time, Gene and I went to Washington, D.C. I was up there on a preaching trip, so I didn't have time to sightsee much. We had one afternoon we could sightsee. We went to the White House, and we sat down on the curb of the White House and felt this terrible oppression. I said, Judy, I bet you if we could look up here and have spiritual eyes, we could see demons all over this place. So we had a prayer meeting. My friend, that's the way it is. If you'll read Daniel chapter 9, angels were involved in that even. Daniel got to praying, and knew you can pray just like Daniel did. And when he got to praying, my friend, an angel appeared to him and told him, from the very first moment you started praying, God was answering your prayers. I won't get to that right now. That's a different story. It's the truth, though. It's in the Bible. So you keep on praying for our country. You do what God's word said to do over there in 1 Timothy. I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, for all that are in authority. We may live a quiet and peaceful life in all godliness and honesty. You ought to pray it every day. More than once. That's what we ought to be doing. Anyway, then, there's a couple more places we'll be through here. I couldn't find this. I'm going to let David help me find this letter tonight, maybe. But there's a story about this over in Hebrews 13:2. Be not forgetful to entertain strangers, thereby some have entertained angels unawares. And so you might remember that story about John Leland. Remember that story about John Leland? Old John Leland, who was a good old Baptist preacher a long time ago, had a whole lot to do with our country. Even had a lot of influence on James Madison. Probably responsible for the Bill of Rights. But one time, they say he went down. There's a lady, a real fancy plantation owner lady. And she had, back in those days, even going to church was kind of an event. I mean, you know, just spiritual stuff, not like today. So she's going to have a meeting at her house and have the famous John Leland come and preach. So old Leland got there early. And he had been traveling. He looked like an old tramp. He up to the front door. They won't let him in. So she said, well, you can go down there. The people there said, you can go down to the slave cabin down here, and then you can stay with this couple down here. And old Leland got down there, and they treated him real sweet. And before they went to bed, they asked him to pray, and he prayed. And the next day, they have all the people come in their carriages. The women have their antebellum dresses on. They're ready to have a good time. This big preacher is going to preach for them. And he doesn't show up. The lady's getting very embarrassed. The man said, you know, last night this guy came in our place right here, and see, he said he prayed. I never heard a prayer like that. At least getting to pray before this cloud is dismissed. Well, he prayed, and she realized what she had done. And he preached a sermon on this very text. Be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some entertain angels unawares. God might send angels our way sometime. I think God puts it to the test. At Grace Chapel, we had some unattractive people to come by sometimes. And we try to treat them right. Because, you know, it'd be nice if everybody just you know, middle class, and they're nice, and they got good habits and all that kind of stuff. But my friend, we need those kind of people, but we need to be nice to everybody. Some God, may he may put us to the test sometime. Some very unattractive people may be sent our way to see if we'll take care of them. All right, then, let me give you two more. I'll be through. This is over the book of Acts. Two places I'm through. Look at Acts chapter 5. Chapter 5, verse 19. The apostles had been preaching. So the Sanhedrin court came and put them in jail. They got them in jail. And said in 5:19, But the angel of the Lord by night opened the prison doors and brought them forth. And they went out preaching again. The Lord opened that door by angels. And then the 12th chapter is when Peter was fit to get executed. James, they cut James' head off, and they're going to get Peter the next day. So we read in chapter 12, verse 7, and behold, the angel of the Lord came unto him, and light shined in the prison, and smote him on the side, and raised him up, saying, arise, go quickly, and his chains fell off. Well, you know the rest of that. So it's actually kind of an amusing story to me. Can't you see Peter? Now, why do you think Peter had a good night's sleep? How could he sleep? They're going to cut his head off. How in the world are you going to sleep? Well, I'll tell you why. He believed God's word. If we believe God's word, we'd get some sleep. The Lord had already told him over in John 21, he's going to be an old man. You're young right now, and you can gird yourself. The day's going to come when you're old, and they're going to take you where you don't want to go. He signified the death of which he glorified God. Peter, I'm going to live old. So he went to sleep believing in God. So when the angel came in there, he shined the light. That wasn't good enough. He kicked him in the side. I get tickled thinking about that. So I'll give him the side. Well, he goes, get up. And then it's kind of like a ghost story almost. They creak. You can see an old gate opening up. The gate just opened up in its own. Peter goes down there to where they are. And they had been down there praying. You know, when we pray sometimes, God can answer our prayer, but we think he will. They prayed for Peter to get released. But when he showed up at the door and knocked on the door, Rhoda came to the door. And she went and said, Peter's here. They said, no, he can't be here. I've been praying for him to get out. He can't be here. It must be his ghost. And old Peter had convinced them it's really him. Friends, that's the book of Hebrews. I have butchered that in a way. I'm not a very fancy preacher, but I hope that I've got some gleanings you can draw hold. And I recommend reading that chapter, meditating on that chapter, love that chapter. It's majestic. It'll feed your soul. God bless you. Come on, David.